Before I begin, I do want to say the Rabbi Chanina tells us that kol haomer davar b'shem omro mivi gula leolam. Everybody knows the quote, not everybody knows who said it, which is kind of ironic in itself. And the reason for that is because the geula is not going to come until we realize that the Torah is not mine. The Torah is ours. And so a lot of what I'm going to say is based on a beautiful idea that I heard from a Rav by the name of Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've heard him speak in your schools. I can't say that everything that I'm going to say is what he said. I can't say that everything that he said that I'm going to say. I'm adding a few things, but it's important to know that a couple of the core ideas come from him. Many people are familiar with the concept that is the title on the top of your source sheets. The idea that there is Yom Purim, long time from now, and Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. And this idea is said, for example, in the Tikkunei Zohar, in Tikkun Chaf Aleph. Tikkunei Zohar is an appendix to the Zohar. It's a part of the Zohar, but it's an appendix, so to speak. But it's also found at the top of the page. And the top of the page is a sefer written by Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi is the author of the Tanya. He's called the Bala Tanya. He's the first Rebbe of Chabad. He died in 1812. And in addition to writing the Tanya, he wrote a sefer called Torah Or. And in that sefer, in the section about Esther, Megillat Esther, at the end of Sefer Shemot, he says the following, underlined, V'hinei Purim V'yom HaKippurim Hu Bechina Achat. It's the same idea. They come from the same theme. They come from the same core. Yom Kippurim Perusho Kimo Purim. So on the one hand, Yom Kippur is a few hours away, and Purim is a long time away, but we hear that there is this connection. Go now to the underlined words. Shekemo, sheyom haKippurim hu bechinat tshuva ila lifnei Hashem titaru. We know that Yom Kippur is the concept of high-level tshuva, elevated tshuva, lifnei Hashem titaru. Kach bePurim. Purim is the same way. Zachu Yisrael l'tshuva ilah. They also had a high level of tshuva. Al yedei divrei hatzomot v'zakatam b'msirut nefesh mamash al yedei kiddush Hashem. It's not Purim, but I wanted to just point out that there is this connection between Yom Kippur and Purim. Both of them, according at least to Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Bala Tanya, there is this idea of high-level, elevated tshuva. And much has been written about this, and I'm not even going into that so much. We know there's a lottery on Purim. We know there's a lottery in the Azara with the Seir LaAzazel and Seir LaShem, and other many connections. But I don't want to go too much into detail about that, but I do want to use it as a springboard to ask a number of questions about Purim. I'm sorry, about Yom Kippur, about what you and I are about to experience. Question number one comes from the following Gemara. It's the second source down. I think everyone knows this Gemara, so I'm going to go through it kind of quickly. But we're going to ask a question that maybe we never thought of. The Gemara comes from Masechet Megillah, Daf Pei Cheder Amud Aleph. I think you all know this. It's the second line down. Vayit Yatzvu B'tachtit Ahar. The Torah tells us in Sefer Shmot Perek Yudtet that Bnei Yisrael, when it came time to receive the Torah, they Vayit Yatzvu, they gathered. Literally, it means under the mountain. Pashup Shat means they gathered at the foot of the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain. But the Torah does seem to say b'tachtit ahar, and everyone knows this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abdimi, Barchama, Barchasa, Melamed. Everyone knows this. Shekafa Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Etzahar Kigigit. And there's many divrei Torah on this, which I'm not going to get into. But that Hashem, as we all know, took Har Sinai and held it over Bnei Israel's head. V'amar lahem, and Hashem said to them, Im atem mekablim haTorah mutav. If you want to take the Torah, great. Ve'im lav, and if you don't accept the Torah, sham tehei kuratchem. Everyone knows that Gemara, yes? Good. Why are we talking about it now? Hell, the Har Sinai over B'nai Israel, take my Torah. If not, I let go. Boom, you're going to be buried under Har Sinai. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabacha Bar Yaakov. Amar Rabacha Bar Yaakov. Mikan Muda'a Rabba Leoraita. Because of this story, we have a huge Muda'a for the Torah. What is a Muda'a? A Muda'a is an excuse. We have an excuse. Look at Rashi. If you slide over to the right, up on top, the underline, do you see Muda'a Rabba? What is Muda'a Rabba? Rashi says, She'im Yazminim Ladin. If we, you and me, or our ancestors at Har Sinai, are ever called to court. Which court? The heavenly court. If we're ever called to heavenly court, and we are told, Lama lo kiyamtem ma shekibaltem aleichem? Why didn't you accept? You accepted the Torah. So why didn't you daven the way you were supposed to? Why didn't you bench the way you were supposed to? Why didn't you eat matzah the way you were supposed to? Why didn't you this and why didn't you that? No problem. Yesh lehem tshuva. Anybody that complains against us, including God, what can we say? We have an answer. Shekibluha be'ones. We got the Torah under, the English word would be, duress. I accepted the Torah because you put a gun to my head. Of course I said yes. It was either take your Torah or die right there. So I said I'll take the Torah, but come on. Now you're going to complain that I'm not keeping the Torah? This is an incredible Gemara. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, we have a Muda'a Rabba, a perfect excuse, a great excuse. I don't really have to keep the Torah if anybody ever complains against me, particularly God, the heavenly court. Sorry, I got a Muda'a Rabba. However, says the Gemara, and this again may be familiar to many of you, Amar Rava, Afal Pikein. Nonetheless, I hear you. There is a Muda'a, there is an excuse, a good answer. Still, Kibluha Bimei Achashverosh. Here we are. We're talking about Purim now. I know it sounds like a million years away. But if, even though there was this excuse, we have a Muda'a at Har Sinai, but we went back, Hadur, we again Kibluha, we again, we received the Torah in the days of Achashverosh, Dichtiv. As it says, and really part of this shiur tonight, I would love to put in your back pocket and try to remember it when Purim comes, because there's so much here that we're going to skip over. But the Gemara says, what does the Megillat Esther say in Esther Perek Tet? Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Jews accepted upon themselves all. Literally, the pasuk continues, accepted it upon themselves, this new chag called Purim. But says Rava, no, and here these four words are very important. Kimu, they upheld ma shekiblu kvar, what they've already accepted. In other words, Purim is an idea of kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They accepted, they upheld that which they accepted so long ago at Har Sinai. You're right. Har Sinai, we had a gun put to our head, but by Achashverosh's days, kimu v'kiblu. Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. And so starting with Purim, all the way until today, we have no more muda'a. We have no more excuse, because you're right, we had an excuse. We had a Muda'a from Har Sinai. We don't anymore, beginning on Purim. Kimu, they accepted upon themselves, they upheld Masha Kiblu Kvar, that which they already accepted at Har Sinai. Question number one is, what is the connection between Purim, and Kimu Bekiblu, and Matan Torah? What happened on Purim? What is it about Purim that caused this muda'a to be undone or to be reversed? And you're wondering, why am I talking about this on Erev Yom Kippur? Please bear with me. I'd love to share with you what I think is a very beautiful idea that has helped me, and I hope it'll help you as well. So question number one, what is this? Okay, Purim Kippurim, I understand, but Purim and Har Sinai. So something happened on Har Sinai. I have this muda'a, this excuse, but there's no longer an excuse. The excuse was undone. The muda'a was reversed, and we want to know why. Okay? Question number one, here's question number two. And now we're going to get to things that might be a little bit more seem, it's all relevant, but might seem more relevant to us nowadays. Question number two, you probably know that when the Kohen Gadol leaves, I didn't say left, I said leaves, Emetz Hashem still this year, when the Kohen Gadol leaves the Beit HaMikdash, after a long and arduous Avoda on Yom Kippur, it is a long, scary, he's been separated from his family for a week before Yom Kippur. He goes in, he does Avoda. There are three Avodot in the Beit HaMikdash that are what the Mishnah calls the hardest Avodot in the Beit HaMikdash. Two of them are done all year round. One of them is done only on Yom Kippur. And the Kohen Gadol does them all on Yom Kippur. Really very, very hard. We know how dangerous it is. He's the only human that is ever allowed in the Kodesh HaKadashim. And when he is done, he comes out. And that's when we sing, you know, na 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 na, Mare Kohen. You're going to sing that. We're going to sing that in a couple days, Yemitz Hashem. We're going to see it and sing it in a couple days, Yemitz Hashem. And he made a Seuda Motzei Yom Kippur for his whole family because he came out okay. And one of the things that he does, and this comes from a Gemara in Masechet Yoma Daf Nun Gimel, but I'm not going to quote the Gemara in Yoma, I'm going to quote our Siddur. So look at the next source down, the third source. Tfilat Musaf Leyom HaKippurim Piyut Seder HaAvoda. The Bal Musaf, anybody here who has a father who's a Bal Musaf, it seems to me to be, I've davened a lot of things, Anim Noraim, I've davened Kol Nidre, Mairiv, Shacharit, Minch. I daven everything except Musaf. I've never been the Chazan for Musaf. It seems to me like the Holy Grail, excuse the pun, I mean, of Chazanim, really, really hard, but pay attention because he's going to say the following. This is the say, it's in the Gemara, but we say it in our Machzorim also. Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha, this is what the Kohen Gadol says when he comes out. Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha, Hashem Elokeinu V'lokei Avoteinu. Third source. Shetehei hashana hazot haba aleinu v'al kol amcha beit Yisrael, God willing, Hashem, please make this year a year of shnat otzarcha hatov tiptach lanu. Open up your storehouses, God. Send us blessings. It's not only that, but we also want Shnat Osem. Now we're going to start going in the Aleph Bet. Osem is the name of a food brand in Israel, but Osem also means a shefa of agricultural brachot. That's why Osem is a food company in Israel. Shnat Osem. Shnat Bracha. A year of blessings. Shnat Gzeirot Tovot Milfanacha, etc., etc., etc. And now you're going to see it in your Siddur. Open up your Machzor afterwards. Shnat or Shana, Shelo Tapil Isha et Pri Vitna. It should be a year where no woman should miscarry. And that is, of course, a very powerful bracha. It's a blessing that we wish on everyone. It just seems strange. The rest of the brachot are so global and understandable. And this bracha just seems strange. The Kohen Gadol said it. The Gemara quotes it. Yoma Daf Yom Gimel. The Machzor quotes it. It's a strange bracha. And so I just want to know why. Why is this bracha? That's question number two. Question number three is related to question number three. Question number three is related to question number two. And this comes from a pasuk in Mishpatim. It is the next source down. The Torah tells us in Parshat Mishpatim at the end of the parsha, when Hashem lists the rewards that Bnei Yisrael will receive if and when they listen to Hashem, one of the rewards is in Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Chaf Vav. God promises you, Lo Tihiyeh, there shall not be. God is telling you, there will not be. Mishakela va'akara biartzecha. Et mispar yamecha amale. Your numbers, your days I will fill, long life, and there shall not be a mishakela v'akara. We know what an akara is, right? An akara is a woman who, chas v'shalom, cannot have children. But what is a mishakela? Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, he died in 1105. Rashi tells us that mishakela is anyone who, chas v'shalom, miscarries, or who has a child and loses the child, God forbid. You should know, just because you should know it, that you're going to hear a word. I hope you don't hear this. I hope you hear this word only academically and not, we don't see it in reality. But there is a word called a mishpacha shkula. I did not mean to write this. That means, what does the second word mean? Shakul just means even. That's not what we're talking about. With a kaf, shkula comes from this. Mishpacha shkula, chas v'shalom, is a family whose child died. Usually it means either in war, you know, through the army, or through like a terror act. So unfortunately this week there are mishpachot, there are new, unfortunately, new mishpachot shkulot. Okay, that's what it means. So Hashem says that if we follow his Torah and listen to him, there will not be a mishakela, a woman who, God forbid, loses a child. Not who can't have one, but who loses one. And so the question is, that's the Hebrew word. So why does the Kohen Gadol, when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he says, Shana shelo tapil isha et pri vitna. It's true, that's what it means. But why didn't he say, Shana shaloti emeshakela? A year of nobody losing a child. That's what, it's the same thing. Why did the Kohen Gadol, why did the Mishnah, why did the Tanaim, why did the Tanaim who directed this Kohen, why did they use that expression? Okay, that's question number three. Question number two was, why does he even daven for that? Question number three is, once he's davening for that, why use a strange language? The Torah told us what word to use. Question number four. Question number four comes from the next source down. This is a piyut that is said on Rosh Hashanah after the shofar blasts. We say a piyut. We do not know who wrote this piyut, but we say it. I don't know. Look at it closely. The Sephardim, do they say this also? Hayom harat olam? Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
You do say it also? Okay. It's a piyut that we say on Rosh Hashanah. Hayom harat olam, hayom yamid bamishpat. I don't know if you sing it like that or something else, but the words you say. The words we say, hayom harat olam. If you had an art scroll sitter in front of you, I wrote this down, the art scroll machzer translates hayom harat olam as today is the birthday of the world. The Koren Machzer translated as the day is the today, this day is the birth of the world. Hayom harat olam. Today is the birthday, or it is the birth of the world. And that's a strange comment to make. Hayom harat olam means birthday. True. But heirayon does not mean birth. What does heirayon literally mean? Pregnancy. So it's just a strange, again, another strange comment. Hayom, there's something's going on here that we're missing. It's a little beneath the surface and we don't get it. Because hayom harat olam should mean today the earth is pregnant. I just don't know what that means. So we say today is the birthday of the earth, according to that opinion, that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. But harat olam doesn't mean that. It should have said, I guess, hayom leidat ha'olam or something like that. We're going to come back to that. And question number five, to me, is the strongest question of all. We're going to leave everything we said and we're going to ask question number five. It's hard to believe, but tomorrow night, you and I are all going to be standing in shul in a very special time of year, a holiest time of year, and we are going to hear, and please forgive me if the Sephardim don't sing this exact tune, but it's still a haunting time for all of us, regardless of what tune you use. We're standing there, the men, most married men, are going to wear kittels, right? A kittel reminds us that we're angels, but it's also similar to tachrichim rachmana litzlan, and it can go either way, God forbid, and it's very haunting. We're going to wear a talis at night, the only time in the year, a talis at night, and it's the high point of the day. It's a happy day, but it's the high point of the day. If I were writing the Machzer, if I were scripting this, if I were the director of Yom Kippur, the movie, I would have everybody standing there, same way. I would also take out the Torahs. I don't know if you know this, but they take out the Torahs. Or Zeruah Latzadik, Ulishaylei Simcha. That's like, that. You know what that does to you? That whole night is just chill worthy. And it's worthy of chills. Or Zeruah Latzadik. And it's, according to my movie, then we're going to take the Torahs, we're going to stand at the Bima, sound familiar? And then we're going to maybe start with Hashem Hu Elokim. Maybe we're going to start with V'nislach Lechol Adat B'nei Yisrael. Something like that. Maybe we should stop and apologize to each other. Which is we do with Tefillah Zakah. Say Tefillah Zakah. Look in the Siddur, read it in English. Tefillah Zakah, the purification Tefillah. Okay. What do we do? The tune is powerful. I've heard it many times in my life, and I'm getting chills right now. Kol Nidrei V'yesarei Harahai Hahai Hahai. Right? Sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Not at all. So most of you it does, some of you it doesn't. I'm sorry, but it's still haunting no matter what community you come from. Yeah? Right? And by the way, the chazan is supposed to start quieter and rise in volume. You ever look at Kol Nidre? This is the high point, high point of Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodesh Elul, I've been hearing the shofar blasting for 30 days. I heard the shofar 2 days on Rosh Hashanah. Aser Yemei Tshuva, I'm fasting. I ask Mechila, Kaparot, and I go. All vows and prohibitions and oaths, consecrations. That's what we're doing on Yom Kippur. The first thing! And our oaths shall not be oaths. I'm not going to that movie. I was so... Now we're talking about a very legal, specific, very difficult... And we spend tons of time figuring out what is it. I have the source. It's the third to last source. Kol Nidre. What is the difference between Nidre, Esare, Shue, Charame, Koname, Konase? What happened? We're going to start with Vidui. Start with Ashamnu. Start with Al-Chait. What's going on here? And may I remind you that last week? When did we do Hatar Nadarim? Last week? You did Atar Nadarim already. And you did it last year, by the way. And you said Kol Nidre last year. What is going on? Everyone with me? We have 5 questions. The 5 questions we asked were, number 1, what is the connection between Purim and Kimu V'Kiblu and Matan Torah? What happened on Purim that caused this muda'a, this excuse to be undone or reversed? Question number 2 is, why does the Kohen Gadol, when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he makes many tefillot, and one of them is Shana Shalot Tapil Isha Privitna? Very powerful, God forbid, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't seem to be on the top lists of brachot that we should be asking for as a whole community. Question number 3 is, why did the Lashon of the Mishnah say Shana Shalot Tapil Isha Privitna and not Shana Shalot Tiyem Mishakela, coming from Parshat Mishpatim, yeah? Question number 4 was, Hayom Harat Olam does mean it's today is the birthday, but it should, that means today is the pregnancy of the world. Something is not making sense. And question number five, with a little operatic drama, is what is going on with Kol Nidre? I cannot be the only one that asked this question about Kol Nidre. Right? We're so, you know, it's a powerful, powerful day. I daven in the same minyan for the last 12 years as my chavruta that I've had for the last 30 years, and every pre-Yom Kippur, we just ask mechila of each other, hug each other, and it's so powerful. I'm getting emotional now, and you're emotional, and you say, Kol Nidre. Doesn't seem to add up. Everyone with me? Amazing. I'd like to begin answering these questions by learning with you, second to last source, a source from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Aschaim, Berlin. He died in 1980. I think it might be later than that, but I wrote down 1980. Anyway, tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He wrote Pachad Yitzchak. We have them here. He wrote Pachad Yitzchak, yeah? Every one of these is a different volume. I mean, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. You should know that Rav Aharon Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, died in 2015. He said that he had three major Rebbeim in his life. His main Rebbe was his father-in-law. His name was? Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. Another one of his major Rebbes was Rabbi Soloveitchik's brother, Rabbi Soloveitchik, otherwise known as Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. And another Rebbe that he had was, take a guess, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. I mean, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I mean, he wrote many things. And he wrote this set of Svarim called Pachad Yitzchak, and this comes from Purim. And you'll see why it's all connected. Rav Kuttner discusses the Gemara from Masechet Megillah that we learned and we said, Kimu Mashakiblu Kvar. And we said that Har Sinai, the Gemara told us, there was this Muda. We received the Torah by force. We had this Muda. But on Purim, Kimu Mashakiblu Kvar, we had this Bitul Muda. Everyone with me? Stick with it. It's worth it. I think it's worth it. I think it's amazing. Let's see. Let's try to read through it together. Pachad Yitzchak, the volume on Purim. Here it is. The volume on Purim. Inyan Yud Aleph. And here we go. O Rosh Shel Davarze, the light, we can shed light on this topic, the light about it, the explanation, line one, Ganuzhu, from the word Gniza, it's hidden. All these things that seem to bother us about Purim and Kippurim and Muda'a, it's hidden in the following fact. Ba'uvda, line one, Kippurim hu, Yom Bitul Hamuda'a Rabba Leoraita. Right? Purim is the day where the Muda'a, where the excuse, is nullified. We received an excuse, so to speak, at Har Sinai. We were mevatel that excuse on Purim. Yes? Yes. The Mashma'uta Shel Muda'a, the meaning, the implication of a muda'a, line two, he, Sheha Adam Hamoser Muda'a Toen, a person who does convey a muda'a to a Beit Din, for example. Sir, is this your handwriting? Yes. Is this your signature on the contract? Yes. Then why are you not keeping the contract? Well, I'd like to convey a muda'a. I signed that contract when I was insane. I signed the contract when I was sick. I signed the contract when I had a gun to my head. These are muda'as. A person who is moser a muda'a, a person who conveys, who declares a muda'a, claims. Ki hama'aseh shehu asa, line three in the middle. This person is claiming that the act that they performed, lo na'asa al yedei ha'ani shelo ha'atzmi. It wasn't done by me, the real me. The real me would never have signed that contract if I didn't have a gun to my head. It wasn't the real me. Ella, why did I sign the contract? Line four. Mitoch gormim chitzoniim. Sheichrichu oto lekach. What are gormim chitzoniim? Chitzoni? External gormim? Causes or factors? External factors that forced me to. It wasn't the real me who signed that contract. It wasn't the real me who accepted the Torah. I had a mountain over my head. I had a gun to my head. It's not the real me. Ulu umadze. But in contrast, Purim was the bitul muda'a. Line 5, bitul muda'a, perusho hu lefech. If I nullify the excuse, if I remove the excuse, what am I saying? She'adam ha-mevatel ta'anat muda'a, mashmi'enu, a person's mevatel a muda'a is letting us know, she'hadavar hazeh, she'na'aseh kan, that the thing that I'm doing now, na'asa hu davka mitoch nikudat ha'ani, bimlo cheruto ha'pnimit. When I have a muda'a, I'm saying it's not me. When I mevatel that muda, I'm saying, this is the real me. The real me is acting in this way. This is the real me. That wasn't the real me. Line 8. V'yom ha-purim she'anu daninoto. L'yom bitul ha-muda rabba le'oraita. And what is Purim? Remember this, put this in your pocket for Purim, but put this in your pocket for Yom Kippurim also. If Purim is the day where we are undoing this excuse, Perushohu, here we go. Shebeyom ze, on this very day, anu makirim, we recognize bibhirut uvrirut, with pure and utter clarity, ki hanase v'nishma, that the nase v'nishma that I said way back on the Sinai, Shayahu le'etzem hanekuda shel havayatenu ha'atzmutit. I couldn't say this at Har Sinai, but I can say it on Purim, that I'm getting rid of the excuse. The nase v'nishma is connected to my very, the inner point, the inner depths of my true self. This is really me. That wasn't really me. You had a gun to my head. But this is really me. Purim is undoing that. The day after Har Sinai, 2 days later, a year later, ten years later, I can say the real me wasn't even on Har Sinai. It was under duress. But Purim, I'm taking that away. And I'm saying the real me is coming up. V'nimtza De'akiblu de Purim machriz, who? Ki ani hu ha'ish, sheme etzem ritzoni nishbati behar Sinai, na'aseh v'nishma. I am announcing from the very core of who I really am that the real me did say na'aseh v'nishma on Har Sinai. Purim is where we undo that. We take away the muda'a. The Gemara said that, and Rav Yitzchak Kuttner explains, we have no more muda'a. It wasn't me. Now I'm saying it is. It was really me. Did you sign the contract? Is that your signature? Yes. Did you sign the contract? Yes. Did you want to? Yes. That's the real me. And so the avoda on Purim is to get to know the ani within us. What do I really want? What do I really stand for? We have to have self, honesty, integrity, sincerity, authentic introspection. That this is really me. On Purim, the mask comes off. On Purim, the mask comes off. And the real me is identified. We dress up on Purim because we're reminding ourselves that we dress up really all year round. All year round, we're wearing clothing. We're wearing an outer, external piece of us that's not really us. How do you say a piece of clothing in Hebrew? A beged. A beged is a piece of clothing. What's a boged? Someone who?
Wander.
I think that's no date you're thinking of. Keep guessing. Great, great, great. Bogade means betrayal. betrayal, insidiousness, is not the word, perfidy. A bogeid is someone who betrays. The clothing that I wear all year round, and I don't mean my physical clothing, I mean my physical ass, my physical affect, is not really me. And on Purim, I have to become and remind myself who the really me is. Purim is the time where lies go away, where all those begadim are shed, and the real me comes out. On Purim, there is no more muda l'arabim. On Purim, there is no more excuses. And if that's Purim, then we are about to approach a day of Yom Kippurim. We're approaching a day that's like Purim. And now we come to our other questions. We asked about Harat Olam, we asked about Kol Nidre, and let's go back first to the question of Hayom Harat Olam. It's translated in the Art Scroll in the Koran as today is the birthday. Today is the birthday of the world. But the expression of Harat Olam is going to surprise you where it comes from. The bottom of the page. The bottom of the page is Sefer Yirmiyahu. It's the last source on the page. And you know that Yirmiyahu's life was very, very painful. And at one point, he says something which is so painful, it's almost too difficult to read, but I am going to read it. Follow along, because you're going to be shocked that when we're singing Hayom Harat Olam, or any tune that we're used to from our communities, think of where it's coming from. You ready? At a time when Yirmiyahu was particularly down, Perek Chaf says, Yirmiyahu Pasuk Yedalid. Bottom of the page. Arur Hayom. Cursed shall be the day asher yuladati bo. Cursed should be the day that I was born, says Yirmiyahu. Yom, the day asher yuladatani imi al yehi baruch. This is really painful. The day that I was born should not be blessing. Tetvav. Arur ha'ish. Cursed is the man asher bisaret avi. Cursed is the man who told my father, Lemor, saying, Yulad lecha ben, Zachar, Sameach, Smachuhu. Cursed is the man who told my father, oh, Mazel Tov, you're born. Cursed should that be. V'haya ha'ishahu, Tadzayin. And that man shall be the one who brought, you and I would say, the best news that anyone could ever hear. You have a child, a healthy child. No, cursed is that man. Ke'arim, like the cities, asher afach Hashem. Cursed like the cities that God overturned. Velo nicham, and cannot be, and was not, didn't repent. Those cities didn't go back. Vishama ze'akaba boker utrua be'et saharayim, and let that man hear a cry in the morning and an alarm, a trua, in the middle of the day. Yudzayin, asher lo mototani meiracham. Why should that man? We'll assume it's a doctor, an OB. Why should that doctor be cursed? This is Yirmiyahu. We're not going to talk about Yirmiyahu right now, but this is what he's saying. He didn't kill me. He didn't kill me, meirachem. He didn't kill me while I was still in the womb. Vatihili, and he should have. I wished that imi kivri, that my mother was my grave, virachma, and her womb, Harat Olam. Harat Olam means pregnancy. What happens to somebody, Rahman al-Itzlan, who is pregnant forever and never gives birth? That's a miscarriage. Hayom Harat Olam is a miscarriage. Hayom Harat Olam means today is the day of eternal pregnancy. Lama zeh meirechem yatzati? Why did I come out of the womb? Lirot amal v'yagon, to see toil and sorrow. V'yichlu bevoshet yamai, and that my day should be consumed in shame, bevoshet, in shame. Hayom harat olam comes from this. Says Yirmiyahu, I wished that my mother would have remained eternally pregnant. Harat Olam. I wish I could have died in the womb and never see the light of day. This is very powerful, sensitive, painful. So now we have to ask an even stronger question. Why would the Anshei Kesed HaGedola put this in the Machzor and we're singing it, Hayom Harat Olam, or however we sing it? Hayom Harat Olam comes from Yirmiyahu very painfully. They meant it to mean the birthday of the world, so much hope, so much promise, a newborn baby, the whole world is in front of her. And yet, it comes from the original text that they copied it from is exactly the opposite. Ladies, this perhaps can put our questions back together. Once we heard that Yom Purim Kippurim, once we heard that Purim and Yom Kippur is a day where we become the real selves, who we really are. And once we know what Hayom Harat Olam, where it comes from, listen to the following idea. Every one of us makes a choice on Rosh Hashanah, on Aseret Yemei Tshuva, on Yom Kippur. Will this be the year that we are born? We are all, each one of us, are pregnant with dreams and with aspirations and with possibilities and with hope. If you're healthy physically, if you're healthy mentally, you have 101, a million and one dreams. And on Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, we ask ourselves and we make a decision. Is this the year that my dreams, that my aspirations will be born? Is this the year that my goals, is this the year that my hopes will see the light of day? Or is this the year where they will miscarry like they did last year? Is this the year where they will, where they, my dreams and my hopes, will, God forbid, remain hidden, unborn, stillborn, not seeing the light of day? And perhaps that is what the Kohen Gadol is referring to. He could have used the word Meshakela, which would have referred to a physical woman, physical child, hopefully will not. And that's true when we daven for that. But it seems by not choosing the words of the Chumash, it seems that Anshei Knesset HaGedola are telling the Kohen Gadol to daven for people to give birth to their dreams. That unlike what Yirmiyahu wanted in Perek Chaf, where he would have Harat Olam, where his mother would be pregnant forever, we want Harat Olam. Harat Olam, we said, is pregnancy. Yeah, it means pregnancy, but we translate it as birth. Because Hayom Harat Olam, we are standing right now at the crossroads. Will we follow Harat Olam? Will our dreams be pregnant forever? Will I always and forever be pregnant with my new plans? Which means another year, and another year, and another year. Or will this be the year where it will be a Harat Olam, where it will be the birth? Where we're going to give birth with all the dreams, we're finally seeing them come to light. We're finally seeing them happen. And that's what the Kohen Gadol is referring to. Shana shalot tapil isha privitna. It's not a mishakela, which it is that, but it also is a poetic hint. It is a profound reference. In this choice of words, Hayom Harat Olam, will this be the birthday of the world, or will it be the unending pregnancy? Will it be the unending pregnancy of my personal dreams and my national aspirations? And that, ladies, is Kol Nidre. That is Kol Nidre. Yes, Kol Nidre is a very technical declaration. There's no Beit Din, by the way. Have you ever heard of a Hataret Nedarim without a Beit Din? We don't have a Beit Din for Kol Nidre. What is Kol Nidre? Kol Nidre really is a very profound tefillah. Every year, we tell ourselves who we are and who we are not. Every year. Every year, we tell ourselves what we can and what we cannot do. And we bind ourselves every year. We bind ourselves with chains that we have created. We bind ourselves in a prison that we've built those walls. And they prevent our ambitions. They prevent the real us. This is a bitul of the muda'a. It prevents the real us from coming out, from becoming a reality. And we make promises to ourselves, and either you are this kind of person, or you've heard people talk like this. I'm the kind of person who... fill in the blanks. I'm not the kind of person who... do you want to go to this kind of chesed, visiting people in the hospital? No, I'm not the kind of person who visits people in the hospital. I'm not the kind of person who finds meaning in tefillah. That's who I am. I don't find meaning in tefillah. That's who I am. I am not the kind of person who enjoys a kumzitz. They enjoy a kumzitz. I'm not the kind of person who enjoys a kumzitz. I am the kind of person who gets turned on by chassidus. I am not the kind of person who gets turned on by chassidus. We bind ourselves, and all these promises and all these oaths that we make to ourselves, all these swears that we make about ourselves, all these vows that we make about ourselves, all these can weigh us down. They prevent us from becoming the real us, the real me, that can give birth to these dreams. And so, yes, on Yom Kippur, standing in the very beginning of Yom Kippur, and we daven, and again, please, the Sephardim, please forgive me, but I know the Ashkenazi version. But yeah, in a very chilling way, we declare before we start this day, I'm not even hungry yet, I'm not even uncomfortable, I'm totally fine, I ate 3 minutes ago. And the very first thing I do, Kol Nidre, yeah. All the oaths that I've made about myself, throw them away. I'm not the kind of person who could stay for Mishmar. Throw that in the garbage. Because if we're going to be chained down, then we can't continue with Yom Kippur. I, on Yom Kippur, am saying I am free to be me. Yom Kippurim, Yom Purim. I am being mevatel the muda'a. It's the real me is coming out now, but to do that, I have to cut the chains, cut the ropes. I need to get out of my own oaths. It's not a real Beit Din here. I'm talking to myself. I did Hatarat Nedarim, but it is a form of Hatarat Nedarim between me and me. Hatarat Nedarim, I'm talking to myself. Yes, I need that before I can go further. I declare to myself that I am not bound by my self-confining definitions. I declare that my dreams can come true. I declare that the vision that I have for myself is attainable this year. But I start with Kol Nidre, and I stand at the crossroads of Hayom Harat Olam on a day that is like Purim, where I undo this excuses. There's no more excuses. Maybe there were when I was 11, 12, 13, you're 18 years old. Excuses are out the window now. Kol Nidre. All my promises are not promises that I've made about myself. And may you and I be zoche to cut the chains and to have an easy and meaningful and effective fast, and that we should all be signed and have a gemar v'chatimah tovah.